We're talking about the work of connecting service dogs with military veterans who are struggling with post-traumatic stress. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There's a bill in Congress to get the VA to provide service dogs to veterans, but for now, nonprofits are one of the only ways for veterans to adopt a service dog or emotional support animal. According to military.com, the Department of Veterans Affairs wrapped up a congressionally mandated study on the benefits of dogs for PTSD last summer. Are you a veteran? Do you have a support animal? How does it help? Join in 800-642-1234. Tori Willitson is a dog trainer who founded Dogs to Dog Tags in Sheboygan Falls, matching veterans with rescue and Humane Society dogs. Tori, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. What led you to becoming a dog trainer?
Well, I'm from Wisconsin, so, you know, growing up, you grow up with friends and family members that go hunting, and it was always good to have your own dog, and kind of became a competition with who may have had a better dog while you were out in the field. Mm-hmm. And as that kind of went on, I started meeting professional dog trainers. There's a really well-known one in my hometown that works in the field trial world. And I started throwing birds for him, and I became friends with his assistant trainer. And it just kind of grew into me working for hunt clubs and guiding hunts for pheasants. And then a program started in the Department of Defense that was using black labs to emulate the same kind of work that they were doing in field trials, but we imprinted them on explosives. Up until that point, most boots on the ground, general service members were using dogs for explosive finds, but they were on 30-foot leashes. And this program that came in was an off-leash program, and it gave them standoff from an explosive, and being, you know, 30 feet away, you could be hundreds of feet away or hundreds of yards away from it, and they could mark and avoid and call DOD and or call the bomb squads that were working in the area to have them defused, and it was saving lives.
And having a dog off leash, you have much more latitude to be able to be away from the area, and yet you need a very well-trained dog, I would imagine.
Correct, and that's kind of where the field trial training techniques and methods came in, because we could handle the dogs. So basically, we would teach the dogs what was called a blind in the field trial game, and you would line the dog up and send him on a back, you would say back, and the dog would take off, and it would run as far as you wanted it to, and if you blew a whistle, it would stop and turn around and look at you. So then you could handle the dog to the left or to the right or to an object, and it could search that and move down the road. If they were on a mounted mission going down a road, you could clear hundreds of yards at a time, check out obstacles that were in the way as far as broken down cars or, you know, buildings that were along the road. So instead of going 30 square feet at a time, you could move hundreds of yards at a time.
Tori, how did you wind up in Afghanistan back in 2012 as a civilian contractor?
So I got headhunted by a buddy of mine who was working for a company in North Carolina. And they had got a huge contract, 680 dogs, I think it was. And they needed a buildup of people who understand or understood the training techniques that were going on. And they called me up, and I applied, and I went through the application process, and I took the job in 2011. And then we gathered the dogs, did the training, and in November of 2011, the Marines showed up from the 7th Marine Division, and we would train the Marines to handle the dogs, pair them up, and they went through the schoolhouse down in North Carolina, and that was about 7 weeks long. Then they were taken to Yuma, Arizona, where the ATF would certify them. And then we went to 29 Palms, California, and did what was called Viper training, was pre-deployment training.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out there for about 3 months. And then we boarded a plane at March Air Force Base and landed in Bastion in April of 2012. And I was there until October of 2012 with them.
We're talking with Tori Willardson, who is the founder of the organization Dogs to Dog Tags. It's based in Sheboygan Falls, matching veterans with rescue dogs and humane society dogs. You can join in. Veterans, are you matched or looking to be matched with a dog or another emotional support animal? What has that process been like for you? 800-642-1234. Toria, let's fast forward a bit to forming the organization Dogs to Dog Tags. What were you trying to do here?
So we had some casualties in Afghanistan while I was there. One of my dog handlers was on a mission at night without his dog. And he was a double amputee. And within 10 days of him waking up from the IED explosion, he asked for his dog. And that kind of started it all in motion. I saw what the dogs did. I saw the bond it was creating with their handlers in Afghanistan, and the morale that it created with just having the dogs on the bases was outstanding. So my fight to get him his dog that he deployed with then turned into I wanted to try to get the dogs to the rest of the guys. Then when we returned in 2012, a lot of suicides in the battalion started happening. So it kind of morphed into me being a dog guy and the respect I got from the Marines and for the Marines while I was over there as a civilian who was unarmed. They didn't know me. They were in charge of keeping me alive while I was over there. And I didn't find it acceptable that guys were coming home and getting out and finding it the best option to commit suicide. So the program morphed into getting shelter dogs, rescue dogs, donated dogs, and training them and giving them to our veterans for, you know, mental health issues that they were suffering and emotional support.
Let's bring in a call now. Louie is joining us from Oconto. Hi, Louie. What would you like to ask Tori?
I have a question. One of the trainers I've read, Robert Milner, you might be familiar with, has good theories on training. But my question was on these service dogs, is there a certain personality, a characteristics you look for, and a certain size of an animal that work better than others?
So we do, you know, do a lot of vetting on animals. The personality plays a lot to do with it. You don't want a dog that's too overly aggressive. It just depends upon the demeanor of the animal. And when we find an animal that works out, we train them through it. He goes through our certification while we're looking for a veteran. So the personality of the dog does play a lot. We've got several different sizes. We've got small little pit bull mixes that are, you know, 35, 40 pounds. And we have Oliver right now in training, who is a big boy. He's about 100 pounds. So it just depends upon the dog's personality and you know, what they're like as an animal.
Louie, may I ask, do you have an emotional support dog?
No. Well, I have a pet.
Uh-huh.
And I guess there's a lot of people that dogs and other animals have gotten people through this pandemic.
Yeah.
So
that's so true. Louie, thank you for the call. As we talk with Tori Willardson, who leads the nonprofit Dogs to Dog Tags, do you train military dogs? What's that process like? What do you want to know about this organization, how it works for veterans? What does your emotional support animal mean to you? Join in any point here, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. Thank you. We're talking about the work of training dogs to assist veterans transitioning to civilian life. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, glad you could be here. Providing emotional support dogs to struggling veterans is seen as one way to help address the suicide crisis. Between 2005 and 2018, more than 89,000 veterans died by suicide. That's from the most recent report by the VA. Veterans, are you looking to be matched with a dog? What has that process been like for you and your family? Do you have an emotional support dog now? What can you tell us? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. Tori Willardson founded the organization Dogs to Dog Tags. He's with us for about 10 more minutes. Tori, what do you see in a rescue dog or a humane society dog that shows potential that you say, yep, there's one?
Well, it's one of those things where you have to really look at as much of the history that you can of the dog. We're looking for animals who have a smart head. We're looking for animals that understand what obedience is. You know, sometimes we get animals that haven't had a lot of social interaction, so we have to kind of bring them out of their shell. But generally, you look for, in our evaluations, you know, one of the things that we have to have is that there's been no aggression in its life,
mm-hmm.
No bite history. We've done a really good job with some of our awesome partners in this that understand the temperament that we're looking for in the animals, and they have been real good at going, hey, you might want to come evaluate this dog. So it works out to a situation where as long as they don't have a bite history and they don't show aggression or food aggression or guarding behavior, we can pretty much get a handle on what they're going to be like as they go through our training. And then we can match them with the personality of a veteran who's filled out the application and gone through the vetting process.
Let's bring in Lindsay now in Westby. Hi, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is related to the sense of smell that you've trained military dogs for to detect bombs. Do you train your therapy or emotional support dogs to sense any type of smell if someone's depressed or unhappy? Or do our body odors change at all like they might if we were having seizures or something, and there's dogs that can detect that?
Hmm.
So that's a great question. With the animals you're speaking of for the seizure or diabetic alert dogs, your pheromones in your body will change. It's kind of like when we train tracking dogs for assailants who are running. When you get nervous or stress comes, your sweat molecules will change. So they're leaving an odor scent on the ground as the dogs are tracking them down, and they can smell the adrenaline. So when someone goes into a certain depressive state or an emotional stress, your body scent is going to change, and the dogs will pick up on that. Now, I have not trained, and we have not trained any dogs for seizures or diabetic stuff, but the scent is probably the most important part of those, because the dogs will pick up on that, and as they go through life, they can start picking it up, you know, minutes, 15 minutes before, a half hour before, when the body's changing and moving into a diabetic state or a seizure state. They're going to pick up on how your body is reacting, what your sweat's doing, and it'll even come down to, you know, how you're acting as a person that you might not see, or other people might not see. The dogs will pick up on that.
Hmm. Is that one of the differences then between what it would be defined as a service dog versus an emotional support dog?
Well, so service dogs are specifically trained, and they have to go through some rigorous training. It takes, you know, anywhere from 18 to 22 months. And the situation with that is you never know what you're going to get. And you put that amount of time, you can go to a breeder and get the dogs that they're breeding for service, and they could be, you know, perfectly trained and the trainer did a great job, but the day of certification, you know, they could have a mishap and fail out. And, you know, that's just one of those things about the standards that they have. It's not really nationwide. Every state is kind of a little different. There's some guidelines with the ADA. But what we've found with our program, you know, as small as we still are, we're placing a lot of emotional support animals because some of the veterans, they don't want the stigma of being in public with a dog that says service animal, because it kind of raises some questions at times. And some people that might not understand the whole situation are like, hey, you don't have a problem. There's nothing wrong with you, because they don't understand the mental aspect of service animals. So the emotional support dogs have been doing really well for us because the guys are getting a highly trained animal. It's doing the job of supporting them when they need it, but they don't necessarily need to take them with them all the time. And we get a lot of great feedback from families on the change that it's brought to their veteran. And it's just really uplifting to get that from the wives and the mothers.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Tori Willardson, who founded a program based in Sheboygan Falls that pairs rescue dogs and veterans. You can join in. What do you want to know about Dogs to Dog Tags? What questions do you have? What are your thoughts on organizations like these? Join in, 800-642-1234. Tori, in the veterans you interact with in these years, what tends to be the mental health situation as they transition back to civilian life? What are you finding?
So that's a great question, and it's asked all the time. The bond that these guys build with their teammates, and most of them are young men. I mean, let's not look at this as they're a, you know, full-on 30-year-old adults. These guys go into training when they're 18 years old. And in the last 20 years, there's been a lot of conflict. So a lot of these 18-year-olds to 22-year-olds are going off and experiencing combat conditions. And some of them have it worse than others, but they come home, and the separation from that bond that you have with your teammates, it goes away when you get separated from the military and you go back to your hometowns, and there's no one there that they're really comfortable with sharing their experiences with. Mm-hmm. So it compounds the feelings that they're getting. And a lot of it doesn't happen, you know, right away. You know, in my case, when we got back in 2012, it was about a year when guys were starting to commit suicide, and it was because they got separated from their units and their teammates and their brothers.
Their support systems.
And the familiarity of, hey, we went through this together, and then all of a sudden they're kind of on their own. And it's not against, you know, any relationships they had prior or with their wives or with their family members or back in their hometown. It's just they experienced something different, and it could have been traumatic, and then they're out there on their own.
Can you kind of describe a day in the life of the dogs that you placed? Can they recognize a veteran who is having a good day versus a bad day? What are the bonds like?
So even with the emotional support animals, we're getting great feedback on, you know, the dog is picking up on when they start stressing, and the dog is putting their head on their knee, or they're coming over and touching them with a paw, or they're following them around. So, you know, the feedback we're getting from the veterans and the wives and the girlfriends is the dog is doing its job, and it's very rewarding. So we're going on a right path, and all we can do is push forward.
How can a veteran apply for your program?
So you can go to our website at dogs2dogtags.org or d2dt.org. And in the dropdown, there's a veteran application, and you can fill that out, and that'll start the process.
In terms of scaling up, it takes time to train these dogs. It takes time to build up that companionship once you have placed that dog. Do you ever get eager to want to, you know, build faster or place more dogs?
So that's always the case, but it would be unbeneficial to place a dog before it was ready. So there's several steps that happen. We get the dog, we bring it in, and we place it. We don't have a kennel right now, so everything's being done out of my executive director's house, Pam Whitcup. We've got another family from my hometown that's a great foster, the Powers family. So what happens is we get done training them, or we think they're at that place to meet a veteran, and then we slowly introduce them. They come to training classes.
It's a process. Yeah. Tori, thank you for joining us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Tori Willitson is a dog trainer who founded Dogs to Dog Tags. Coming up, we get the latest on the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line after this news update on the Ideas Network.